It's my honor this morning to introduce our guest preacher of God's Word. Reverend Dr. William Glaze has ministered throughout the United States and Africa. He and his wife Angie were married in February of 1977. They have four children, eight grandchildren. I was talking with Pastor Glaze this morning, and one of his sons was a Geneva grad somewhere around 2000, something like that. He played football here. And so Reverend Glaze has a lot of ties to campus, not only through family, but he's also chaired for some 20 years now the Center for Urban Biblical Ministry, which is affiliated with Geneva and housed at the Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Pittsburgh. Pastor Glaze has been the pastor of Bethany Baptist Church in Pittsburgh since July of 1990. He hosts a daily radio show called Anchored in Jesus. Bear with me now. I want to mention just a couple of things that he's involved in, just to give you a sense of the heart of this minister and how the Lord has taken that heart and put it into action in the community. He's the president of the Homewood Brushton Community Ministries. It's a ministerium of pastors addressing spiritual and social needs in the Homewood community in the east side of Pittsburgh. He's on the advisory board for the President's Council at Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary. He's an active member of the Coalition for Christian Outreach, an organization with which some of you are very familiar. He's an active board member of the Women's Choice Network, an organization providing counsel and support to women who are in crisis pregnancy situations. He's a member of the Planning Committee for the National Biblical Counseling Association. And in all of these things, as we were talking this morning, Pastor Glaze wants to keep his heart local in the people that he serves and to bring big picture and local together. He's the author of five books, and one in particular I'd like to draw your attention to this morning. It's called Rebuilding the Fences of Broken Relationships, a study of the book of Philemon. It's very easy to see. We've got a lot of rebuilding to do in our country when it comes to relationships. We think particularly of that today, as it is 50 years to the day from the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. We've got a long way to go, but it is only the gospel of the living Christ that can get us there and that will get us there. And it's that same gospel that our brother in Christ will come and preach to us in just a moment. And I'll read the scripture now that he's going to preach. It's from Luke 17, starting in verse 7. This is the word of the living God. Will any of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in front of the field, has come in from the field, come at once and recline at table? Will he not rather say to him, prepare supper for me and dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank the servant because he did what he was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. The word of the living God. Please come preach to us, brother.
To be here this morning at Geneva College, and we give honor to the president of this great institution, also to the chaplain who invited me to speak. And as we come today, I want to preach on the passage that was just read in your hearing. And as we think about Dr. Martin Luther King, one of the things that we see that he had was the heart of a servant. And so there's something that all of us can learn not only from his life, but also from this passage that was read to us just a second ago. In the story, we see that there was a servant, and he was out in the field, and he had been out there all day plowing and feeding the cattle. And then he comes in from a long day out in the field, supposing to himself that, hey, this is my opportunity to take care of my needs. You know, I've been out there sweating all day. I'm going to come in and maybe fix me a nice cool drink, fix me something to eat, and then enjoy the rest of the day. But the master says to him, oh, wait a minute. Before you do anything else, go clean up, go prepare a meal for me, serve me, and after you have done all that, then you can take care of yourself. And in spite of it all, he says, in the midst of all that, does he thank that servant for what he did? The sacrifices that he made in working in the field for this master all day, to come in and prepare food for him. Does he thank him for all he did? And the Bible says that I think not. And so we look at that and we realize that it's easy to take our focus off of who we're serving and to get upset when we don't get the appreciation that we think we should get. And as we know who we are called to serve and we understand that we're called to serve God, then we can do it with a smile. And I'm not talking about a smile on your face. I'm talking about doing it with joy in your heart. I heard the story about a man who was walking down the road and he was leading a donkey and there was a little boy walking beside it. He came to this one town and somebody said, "Why are you walking the donkey? You should be riding the donkey." So the man got on the donkey. He began to ride the donkey. He came to the next little hamlet and somebody said, "Why are you riding the donkey and the little boy is walking?" So the man got off the donkey. He put the little boy on the donkey and they went off to the next town. They came to the next town. Somebody said, "That's got to be the laziest boy in the world. How can he ride the donkey and you walk?" And so the man got on the donkey with the boy, and they came to the next town, and somebody said, "We're going to report you for cruelty to animals. How can both of you ride that donkey?" And according to the story, the man was last seen walking down the road carrying a donkey. And so we look at that story, and one of the things that we see is that when we do things to try to please people, we carry burdens that God never intended for us to carry. But when we find out what it is that God wants us to do, we can do it with a smile. Dr. King, he knew what God wanted him to do, and he did it with joy because he knew that he was doing what God called him to do. And I pray to God that everybody here today, that you would have an assignment, that you would understand your assignment, and that you do your assignment, that you would do it with joy in your heart. As we look at this story today, there's four things that I want to share with you. The first thing that we see as we look at service with a smile, it involves a surrender to selflessness. A surrender to selflessness. Well, what do I mean by that? I mean, you can't be selfish and be in the kingdom of God. It can't be all about you. Again, we look at the man in the story. You know, he did all these things for the master. One thing after the next, after the next, after the next. And he had to put himself on the back burner. And so there was a surrender to selflessness. You know, sad to say that we live in a society today where it's all about me. It's all about what I can get. What can I get out of it? And very seldom are we seeing in these days a heart of servant and a service attitude. That reminds me of a poem that I once read. It said, "I had a little tea party this afternoon at 3. Was very small, 3 guests in all, just I, myself, and me. Myself ate all the sandwiches while I drank all the tea. 'Twas also I that ate the pie, now pass the cake to me." And see, that's the problem, that many of us have those parties, right, where it's all about us. But if you're going to be in the kingdom of God, God is looking for people who have a hearts of service. And when you have a heart of service, that means that you put God first in everything that you do. The servant in this story, he put the master first in everything that he did. The legend is told of the disciples that they were walking along one day, and Jesus told them all to pick up a stone. And John picked up a big stone, and Peter picked up a little stone. And they carried these stones for miles. And Jesus stopped in the middle of it, according to this legend. He turns around, and he turns all their stones into bread. And because John had a big stone, he had a big piece of bread. And Peter, because he had a little stone, he had a little piece of bread. And Peter thought to himself, "If I knew that he was going to do that, I would have got a bigger stone." Well, wouldn't you know it? A couple months later, according to this legend, they were walking along, and Jesus tells them to pick up a stone again. And so Peter's wise this time. He said, "I remember what happened last time." So Peter went and found the biggest stone that he could find. And he carried it, and he labored, and he sweat, and he strained as he carried the stone. And they came to the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus told them to throw their stones into the lake. And Peter was upset. He said, "The last time we did it, I got a small stone. You turned into bread, and I got a little piece of bread. This time, you tell us to throw it into the lake." He said, "What's going on with that, Jesus? I don't understand." And Jesus looked at Peter, and he said to Peter, "Who are you carrying the stone for? Are you carrying it for me, or are you carrying it for yourself?" So God asks us all the question today, as we serve, whether as a faculty member, whether as an administrator, whether as a student, a coach, who are you carrying a stone for today? Are you carrying it for yourself? Are you carrying it for your own notoriety? Are you carrying it for your own glory? Or are you carrying it for the Lord? See, when we carry it for ourselves, like Peter, we will strain and we will struggle and we will sweat in the energy of the flesh. But when we carry it for God, he says, come unto me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Service with a smile. It involves a surrender to selflessness. It involves having the right motive. You know, I heard about this family in the church, and I hope there's nobody here with the last name of Tate this morning, because this is the Tate family. There was old man Dick Tate who wanted to run everything. Uncle Rotate wanted to change everything. Sister Agitate wanted to stir up trouble with help from her husband Irritate. Whenever new projects are suggested, Hesitate and his wife Vegetate want to wait until next year. There's Aunt Imitate, who wants their church to be like all the others. There's Devastate, that provides the voice of doom. There's Potentate, who wants to be the big shot. And let's not forget about Cousin Amputate, who got mad at everybody and cut himself off from the rest of the people. See, some people are in it for themselves. They're in it for their own agenda. A surrender to selflessness means that you put your priorities aside to serve the Lord. You put your motives aside to serve the Lord. And it also means sometimes that you make sacrifices. You know, when you think about Dr. Martin Luther King, you know, he had the heart of a sacrifice. He made a sacrifice, and the ultimate sacrifice that he made was that of giving his life. We just celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ this past weekend. But before the resurrection, we know that there was last week, Holy Week, where at the end of Holy Week, he was put to death. He sacrificed his life. And sometimes in the kingdom of God, God calls us to sacrifice. And we have to say in the words of King David, I will not offer unto the Lord that which costs me nothing. That if we're going to serve God with a smile, that sometimes he calls upon us to give of ourselves. Sometimes he calls upon us to make a sacrifice. A lady was having a birthday party for her son, and she had hired some clowns for entertainment, and the clowns hadn't got there. And so the kids were getting bored. And, you know, just when the party was becoming less and less exciting and more of a dud, about that time, two homeless guys knocked on the door, and they asked the lady if there was any work that they could do. And she said that she had a pile of wood in the backyard, and if you'll go chop that pile of wood, I'll give you $50. So they went out there and they began to chop the wood. And meanwhile, the party, the kids were just bored out of their mind. And all of a sudden, the kids look out the window and they see one of the homeless men doing somersaults and backflips and cartwheels. And the kids went crazy. They started screaming, wow, this is great. And so the guy, he's laying over there rolling around, flipping on the ground. And the lady goes out to the other homeless guy. She said, wow, that was a great routine. Do you think that he would do that again for another $50? And he said, I don't know. I'll go ask him. And so the guy's laying on the ground, rolling around. And he said, hey, that lady wants to know if you'll chop off another finger for $50. Can you imagine when he asked, what? Another sacrifice? What are you talking about? Another finger? You want me to give another finger? And I wonder sometimes if that's not our attitude. When God calls on us to give of ourselves, when God calls of ourselves to be a blessing to others, when God calls on us to give beyond what we've given, if we don't take that attitude sometimes and say, what? Another sacrifice? What? Another finger? And so surrender to service with a smile involves a surrender to selflessness. The second thing we see is that a surrender a service with a smile involves a toleration for toil. A toleration for toil. Well, what do I mean by that? As we look at this servant here, look, he had to do one thing after the next, 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 and he had to do it without complaining, and he had to do it without any consideration. And so we look at serving God with a smile. And we realize that sometimes it's going to call upon demanding circumstances. It's going to call, that sacrifice is going to call upon us to reach within ourselves and find something there that we can give. You know, when we think about the fact that we love the Lord, and that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for our sins. And Jesus, somebody asked, how much did Jesus love us? And Jesus stretched out his arms and hung on a cross and said, that's how much I love you. And if we love God the way that he loves us, then we should be able to do what he's called us to do without any consideration and without complaining. I remember reading through the scriptures on one year, and I was reading in the book of Genesis. And I had read through the Bible several times, but on this one particular occasion, there was a passage in Genesis 29 that caught my attention. And it's when Jacob worked for Rachel because he loved her and he wanted to marry her. And we all know that Laban, you know, pulled a fast one on him the first time, and instead of giving him Rachel, he gave him her sister Leah. But it says that Jacob served for 7 years. And I had missed this. I never saw it before. And it said that those 7 years seemed like only a few days because he loved her so much. That this man loved this lady so much that he had no problem serving for 7 years. And when we are in a love relationship with God, that we keep our eyes on him and we look into his face and we gaze into his glory. And as we do that, we get enraptured in God. And like Jacob, those 7 years only seem like a few days because of the love that we have for the Lord. And when we have that love, we can serve him with a smile. Service with a smile. A surrender to selflessness, a toleration for toil. And the third thing that we see in this passage is what I call a uniqueness to be unappreciated. A uniqueness to be unappreciated. Does he thank that servant for all the things that he did? Worked in the field, plowed, fed the cattle, came in, prepared the meal, served the master. Now that probably went on until late in the day. Does he thank that servant for all that he did? And the Bible says, I think not. No. That he wasn't looking for accolades. He wasn't looking for glory. He was just looking for how he could serve the master. And you know, when you think about Dr. King and all the things that he did, not until years after he died did he begin to get acknowledgments and appreciation. But while he was doing it, he didn't get very much appreciation. He got dogs turned on him. He got hoses sprayed on him. And eventually he got shot. So there wasn't a whole lot of appreciation that he received. And sometimes when we serve the Lord, we might not receive a lot of appreciation. I remember on one occasion when my kids were growing up, I was feeling a little unappreciated in my home. And, you know, nobody was coming to me and saying, thank you, Dad, for driving us from place to place. Thank you, Dad, for putting food on the table. Thank you, Dad, for putting clothes on my back. And I was feeling a little bit unappreciated. And so it just so happened that my washing machine broke down. And I said, well, I'm going to teach everybody a lesson. You know, I'm not going to get it fixed. And then they'll see how important I am around here. And so clothes began to pile up. And eventually all my clothes got dirty. And I had to go to the laundromat to wash my clothes. And as I was standing there in the laundromat, washing my clothes, I heard the voice of the Lord come out of the dryer. And it said, you sure taught them a lesson, didn't you? A uniqueness to be unappreciated. You know, that sometimes you're not going to get the acknowledgement that you want. Sometimes you're not going to get the kudos. You're not going to get the accolades. But you know what? You do it anyways. You keep on serving. There's something that we say in our church. If when you give the best of your service, telling men that the Savior has come, be not dismayed if they will not hear you, for he'll understand and say, well done. That when you serve, you are serving an audience of one. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, if you serve and you get too many accolades and you get too much recognition and you get a whole lot of applause from man, then you need to be careful because you have your reward right there. But when we serve God, regardless of we get acknowledged or not, God sees us. And God, the Bible says, he will reward us because he sees that we're doing it in the right heart, in the right spirit. And you know, I find sometimes that even when you feel like you're not going to be appreciated, what happens sometimes is that, well, you know, I'm not going to get recognized. I'm not going to get appreciated. So what do? I'm going to pull back a little bit. I'm not going to go as hard. You know, I'm not going to do my best in service because who's going to notice it anyways? And when we serve God, regardless if we get any acknowledgement or not, we should still do the best that we can. I remember years ago, I happened to be in New York City when they were given the Statue of Liberty a facelift. And I was reading some of the literature of when France gave it to the United States. And it talked about the crown of the statue and how that the French took great patience and care to design the inside of the crown with delicacy and intricacy. And I thought to myself, the average person that's standing from the ground can never look at that crown and appreciate all that took place in the making of that crown, especially the design that's down inside the crown. And they gave the best that they could. They took time for attention and detail, giving it to something that most of the people would not even see. The only way that you would see it if you're flying from above. And that's what God has called us to do. God is calling us to give our best, even when nobody else will see it, even when nobody else will recognize it. I think of a quote by Dr. Martin Luther King. He said, "You should, if you sweep streets, you should be the best street sweeper that there has ever been. You should sweep the streets so well that all of heaven stops and says, look, there goes the best street sweeper that there's ever been." That's what it means to serve God with a smile. That's what it means to have this uniqueness to be unappreciated. There was a lady who was picking up communion cups at her church, and the pastor just happened to be standing there that day, and he saw her picking up the cups. And he went to one of the elders and said, wow, he said, does she do that every Sunday? And the elder said, yeah. He said, she's been doing it all this time, and I've never thanked her. And so he went over, and he said, sister, he said, I have to apologize to you that you've been picking up these communion cups after church on communion Sunday, and I've never thanked you. And she said, pastor, if I was doing it for you, I would be upset. But I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for the Lord. And that's the attitude. That's the heart that God is looking for in his servants. That's what God is looking for when we serve him with a smile. Service with a smile, a surrender to selflessness, a toleration for toil, a uniqueness to be unappreciated. And then finally, this is what I call a declaration of duty. A declaration of duty. So when you also, when you, and you, and you, and you have done all these things that were commanded you, say we are unprofitable servants because we have just done that which was our duty to do. Wow. Wow. You mean this guy has been out there in the field all day doing all these things, comes in, and has to pretty much take on a second job. And at the end of the day, when he sat down and had time for himself, that he was to say, I've just done that which was my duty to do, a declaration of duty. As I think of this guy right here, there's an illustration that I share. I'll forewarn you, it's not one of the most godliest illustrations that I give, but it makes the point. And that is, before I came to Christ, I used to gamble. And one of the games that I played was poker. And when you play poker, they would sit around and deal the cards out. And as you got your cards, you would look at them. And you could have the best hand in the world. I mean, you could have the greatest hand in the world, that you could beat anybody around the table, hands down, that nobody else would have the hand that you had. But if you're sitting there and you've only got $5 in your pocket, and somebody across the table says that I open up with $10, then guess what? You can't even get in the game. You got the best hand in the world, and you can't even get in the game. Well, I know God doesn't gamble, but let me just use this sanctified illustration. That you're sitting down at the table with God, and you're thinking about, I've got a degree from Geneva College. I'm a member of a church. I give, I serve, I pray, I read my Bible, and then your chest starts to swell up, and you start to stick out your chest talking about what a great person that you are. You think that you have the best hand in the world. And so you're sitting there and you're smiling because you know I've got the best hand in the world. And God says, I open up with my son, Jesus Christ. Guess what? You can't even get in the game. You can't even get in the game. We read the scripture this morning in Isaiah. But who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. God opens up with his son. You can't even get in the game. So the only thing you can do is you can sit there and you can say, I've just done that which was my duty to do. And if we serve God with a smile down here, one day when we enter into the kingdom of heaven, God will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And we will enter into the joy of the Lord. A smile down here results in permanent joy and glory. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to share about the heart of a servant. And I pray today, Lord, that you would just speak to all of our hearts about serving. Lord, that we would realize that the heart of a servant, there's a surrender to selflessness. In the heart of the servant, there's a toleration for toil. In the heart of the servant, there's a uniqueness to be unappreciated. And that in the heart of the servant, there's a declaration of duty. And so, Father, help us to be servants that bring honor and glory to you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.